I've never spoken on this subject of claiming promises. I've automatically done this all my Christian life. And so since I was behind in my Bible study and behind in my message preparation, I should have been prepared before I came, but I wasn't. I did some Bible study yesterday on this subject of claiming promises. And the first thing I had to ask, what does this mean? Because I couldn't find anything specifically in the Scriptures that says, uses the word claiming promises. So I was reminded of John chapter 4, the last portion of John chapter 4, beginning with verse 46, where we have the story of the official from Capernaum. And I think most of you know this story. This, I think, was the second miracle that Jesus did. And his son was ill. And he heard that Jesus was in Cana. Now, it was about 15 miles, according to a map that I just looked at, from Capernaum to Cana. So he, this official, went from Capernaum to Cana to see Jesus Christ and tell Jesus Christ about his son who was ill. And he begged Jesus to come to Capernaum and heal his son. And Jesus said, well, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. But then the official said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. And Jesus said to him, go, your son will live. The man believed the word, or he claimed that promise that Jesus gave, that Jesus spoke to him, and went his way. And as he was going, his servant met him and told him that his son was living. So he asked him the hour when he began to mend. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. The father knew that that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, your son will live, or the moment he claimed that promise. And this was the second sign that Jesus did. So claiming promises is believing his promise and acting upon them, because that's what this official did. And I could just think of myself being in those circumstances, walking those miles in a hot, dusty trail, claiming that what Jesus had said to me. Some of you, if you were raised in some of the states in the Union, like great-grandparents were given some land, we call the Homestead Act, and they were given land free from the government. If they would work on that land so many years, put a claim to that land would be theirs. They claimed the promise of the American government of that land, and that land became theirs. To me, that's what claiming promises means. There are two illustrations of what claiming promises means. Now, why is it so important? Why is it so important to claim the promises of God and of Jesus Christ? I have three reasons. 2 Peter, that's the way we say it in Great Britain. You say 2 Peter, but I don't think you understand what I'm saying. 2 Peter, sorry. I'm still trying to get adjusted to the American language here. May grace and peace be multiplied unto you and to me through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, that through these you may escape from the corruption that is in the world because of passion. Now are you and am I experiencing the multiplication of His grace and His peace? Are you and I experiencing that divine nature so that we are becoming more like Jesus Christ? Are you and I experiencing the victories that can be ours in Jesus Christ? Well, it's possible, according to the Scriptures, as you get to know Jesus Christ better and His promises better, and that you and claiming those promises in your particular situation. That's what it says in 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. So that's why this subject is important. Another reason, if we had time to go into Hebrews chapter 11 and study that chapter, we would read about people very much like you and I. Some were leaders, some were not. But they claimed the promises of God. Some did not experience the fulfillment of those promises. In other words, didn't experience some of those promises, as you read in the latter part of Hebrews 11. But it says in verse 6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Seek his promises and claim them in their particular circumstances of life. A third reason, and this is also in Hebrews, and I sometimes wonder, the Lord, he does want to enjoy us. Just like those of us that have children, we want to enjoy our children, see them grow. And it says in verse 12 in Hebrews chapter 6, it says that you be not slothful. You know, I think we're all lazy, at least I am. Maybe some of you in Ohio, you're maybe not so lazy not over there. But we in Minnesota, we love the lakes and the easy way of life. The snows in the winter, we have more snow than you do. And not quite so hot and humid in the summer. So anyway, should be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience do inherit the promises. It's so easy to become slothful. And, like Abraham, we go to verse 13 and 14 and 15. "For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely I will bless you and multiply you.' And thus Abraham, having patiently endured, received the promise." You know, we're living in the now generation, and the now generation said, "It has to be now." Well, Abraham, I think it took about 25 years before he received that promise of a son. And it's very encouraging, isn't it, when you think of Abraham and Sarah. You know, after they were given the promise, you know, they had their ups and downs. You know, Abraham didn't believe the Lord from the very beginning. He had his ups and downs. Remember, even Sarah laughed. And she didn't believe either very in the early stages, did she? In fact, in Genesis 8, chapter 18, verse 14, the Lord had to encourage them and tell them, "Is there anything too hard for me?" Along the way, the Lord had to encourage them. You know, it's not too difficult for me to accomplish that promise that I give you, that I will multiply you, I will bless you. You'll be the father of many nations because I'll give you a son. And then we read in Romans chapter 4, beginning with verse 19, where it says, "He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, because he was 100 years old, and when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb, no distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith, and he gave glory to God." He grew strong in faith. You know, this process of believing God is a process of growth. Where it's, you and I are to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we grow in knowing Him, we'll grow in having more confidence that He's able to do what He's promised to do for us. And the end result, or in the process, we'll be able to give glory to God as we believe Him more and more, as we begin to claim more and more of those promises for our own life and for others, for those in our family, and for those we're ministering to. And we can come to the point where it says in verse 20, "being fully convinced that God was able to do what He had promised." That we, just like Abraham, can become fully convinced that what God has promised, He can and will do for me. In my situation, in my circumstances. Fully convinced. But where do you begin? Where do we begin? It's It's my next point. Where do you and I begin regarding claiming the promises of God? You and I need to begin right where we are in our walk of faith, claiming those specific, general, clear promises God has given for all of us. I think sometimes we make this a little bit too complicated. We read a book like Doss and we kind of copy him and what he did after he'd walked with the Lord many, many years. And we're just beginning our walk with the Lord now. And you're around the navigators, and this is one of the distinctives, let's say, of the navigators, claiming promises. And sometimes we begin way up here, and we need to start where we are right now in our walk with Jesus Christ. For example, I use the illustration of my father. He said, you know, it's too simple. I says, Dad, it's not too simple. It's the thief on the cross. He said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He called upon the Lord. The Lord was going to be the new Lord of his life, not himself. And Jesus Christ is only one that can forgive sin. And he called upon the Lord to forgive him. And what did Jesus say? Today you will be with me in paradise. That was the promise. It's not complicated, it's simple. And you can believe that. And you can receive Christ right now. And according to the promises of Jesus Christ, if you claim those promises, you can become right now a child of the King, a child of Jesus Christ. Claiming that promise. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you receive Christ, according to the promise of the Word of God, you can become a child of Jesus Christ right now. And then I remember when I left my dad before I came here, I asked my dad twice, now Dad, is it okay if I go here? And my dad says, yes, I want you to go. So, in light of promises, the first one is the salvation and assurance of eternal life. I thought, well, what can I share with my father regarding helping him and claiming a promise? And as far as I know, he's claimed the promise that he's a child of a king because he's received Christ. And I thought, well, maybe John 11:24-25 would be a good promise to give to my father, where Jesus Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he dies, will never, never die. But he'll live forever. That's a promise of Jesus Christ. That if you believe in him, you'll never die. I said, Dad, do you believe that? That's a promise for my father to claim. And when someone becomes a Christian, you know, oftentimes what I do, now my father can't read, he can't only think of, and only talk for a few minutes. I just take that little beginning with Christ packet that the navigators have. And I'm sorry, I don't have one with me, but I think you know what I mean. And sometimes just reading the first 3 or 4 pages with somebody, helping them regarding claiming the promises of salvation and eternal life. And going over 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. And I put verse 10 with it. And I think we all know 1 John 5, 11 and 12, do we not? And this is a record. God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has his Son, what? Has life. He who has not the Son of God has not life. What's the promise? If you have Christ, you have life. You have Christ, you have eternal life according to the promise of the Word of God. And 1 John 2:25, just before that, bring out, and this is what he has promised us, eternal life. And this is what he has promised us, eternal life. There's where you begin, claiming that promise. And oftentimes, the second one that I find so important, my own life and helping others, is claiming the promise of God's Spirit living within me. You know, Ephesians 1:13 says, after that, when you believed, The moment you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. And you go and study the book of Galatians. And you start reading the book of Galatians. And chapter 3, verse 14 says that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And verse 22, but the Scriptures consigned all things to sin, that what was promised to faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those that believe. Chapter 4, verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent His Spirit, the Spirit of His Son, into our hearts, saying, Abba, Father. According to the Scriptures, the moment I receive Christ, I receive the promise of His Holy Spirit. And I can claim that. I can believe that. And according to Galatians chapter 4, verses 23 and 28, I'm born of the free woman. I can be free in the Spirit. I'm not under the law. You just read the last part of Galatians chapter 4. It's a wonderful life that we have in Jesus Christ. That's a promise. The promise of His Spirit living within me. And oftentimes helping someone, this is what I will oftentimes share with them. Probably the second thing I would share with them. That would, if my father can talk when I go back, I would just share this little truth with him. That God lives within him in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. He's free. He has all that there is in Jesus Christ is His. Well, we could spend hours on this, but let me go to the third promise that I have in my list. The promise of His help in temptation. The promise of His help in temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. And as I was studying this promise in its context, it has to do with two basic temptations. The temptation of immorality, sexual immorality, and the problem of grumbling. One has to do with the body, one has to do with the spirit. And this is a promise I'm praying every day for one of my friends. As far as I know, he's recently become a Christian. He's come, in fact, it's my half-brother. He's come from the life that many people live these days, or have lived. Hippie life, free life, the now life. And he's going to be getting married. And I just asked him, I said, brother, do you have to be sleeping with this woman? He said, well, since you asked me, Roger, I am. I said, well, you know, you're thinking about becoming a Christian, or you are a Christian now. Just, you know what God says about that. And I asked him to read Ephesians chapter 5. I said, you go home to California and you talk to Linda about this. And if you want to follow Christ, this is what God's way is for you to have a happy marriage. There's no sleeping together until you're officially married. He rang back. He said, we made that decision. But I know it's going to be difficult for him. Every day, I think and I pray, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Because that promise can be for my half-brother if he knows the Lord, and I think he does now. But there's no temptation taken him, but such as is common to man. The sin of the body. What about the sin of the spirit, grumbling? Do you grumble when circumstances aren't going too well? Well, it's a temptation I have just about every day. But there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. I don't need to grumble. It just makes me feel bad inside. It makes my wife feel bad. The harmony in the family goes. You know, it just... God knows what we need. He says, there's no temptation taking you. You don't need to grumble. And you take, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And it's talking here about the sins of the body and of the spirit. And here God gives some promises. And he says in verse 16, I will live in them and move among them. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. And I will be their God and they will be my people. Verse 18, and I will be a father to you. And you shall be my sons and daughters. And since, chapter 7, verse 1, since we have these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, the sins of sexual sins, the sins of the body, grumbling, and make holiness perfect in the fear of God. You know, when we're grumbling or when we are doing things we know we shouldn't do, you know, it does affect sometimes having the assurance that, am I really a Christian? I can empathize with people like that because people have told me this. He said, I can give you all the answers. Well, I know, according to the Bible, that I am a child of God. But because of some of the things I do, you know, you know what I mean. What we do can affect our relationship with Christ, and which can make it sometimes difficult to really believe some of these basic promises that we have in Jesus Christ. And when we think of His help in temptation, have some of you memorized the verse in the topic of memory system of the Navigators in Hebrews 2:18? That's one of the verses. And it says, for because He Himself, Jesus Christ Himself, has suffered and been tempted, He is able to help those who are tempted. I remember one of Andre's friends in the Middle East came to me once. And he was telling me about a certain temptation. And he said, I claim the promises and they don't work in this particular need I have. And I said, yes, it's the promises you're claiming. But the promises should bring you and need to bring you to Jesus Christ Himself. And He says that He can sympathize with you and He can help you. You need to get to Him through the promise. And there are certain temptations, I know, in light of some of our backgrounds and some of the habits that we've developed that are very, very, very great. And that He Himself, Jesus Christ, we get to Him through the promises. He's the one that understands. He's the one that sympathizes. And He can help us. He Himself suffered these very temptations that we're going through. He understands us. He knows. And He can help us. Well, the promise of His establishing or settling us. When I was a young Christian, I think the greatest promise that I believed and claimed was a comfort to me, gave me perspective in my Christian life, was 1 Peter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called you unto His eternal glory, after that you have suffered a while, He'll establish, settle, strengthen you. You know, that gave me perspective because when I was a young Christian, it seemed like I was going through a lot of suffering in light of the habits that I built in my life before I was a Christian. And I'd see some of my friends, and you know, outwardly they were really seemingly enjoying life, and I was going through some of these struggles, and here I thought, well, here I am. I'm supposed to experience the abundant life in Christ, and what about these struggles I'm going through? But the God of all grace, who hath called you unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, He'll establish you, He'll settle you, He'll strengthen you. I claim that. I believe that. We have been missionaries. Our one daughter has been gone from us now about a year and a half. And our second daughter will probably be leaving in Wisconsin. And Wisconsin, you know, when you think of Wisconsin, that's the state of, what is it, a lot of Germans there, a lot of beer drinking, and, you know, there's a lot of tough people there. Just like Minnesotans, you know, the Scandinavians are tough people. And here you think of leaving my 17-year-old daughter there, nearly 18. And when they're 18, 17, some of you have children, you know, they're not quite established yet. And, well, that's something, Romans 16:25 is something my wife prays many times. Paul says, you are established according to my gospel. And there's not much we can do, but we can pray. And then we can pray too. And, you know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul sent Timothy to help those young Christians to establish them in their faith and pray, well, that God will use some people, some way, somehow. And I pray, dear Lord, it might be some navigators that could help my daughters become established because, you know, that's a promise. I need to claim and a promise they need to claim as well. Become established in Jesus Christ. Well, what about guidance? You probably don't have problems along these lines. Promise of guidance. What are you going to do with your life and how do you know that God guides you? Claiming the promise of guidance. I trust you all or are memorizing those five verses in the beginning with Christ packet. I'm so glad the navigators have added verse number 5. So if you're in the old navigator core, I've only memorized the first 4 verses. I need to get the new beginning with Christ packet and memorize verse 5. And that's what? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Now in Spain, we've got a new beginning with Christ packet. And because the Spanish Bible doesn't say exactly what we want to say, we have used another verse, and I hope it's okay with the navigators. We didn't even check with them, but it's okay, I'm sure, with the Lord, because Psalm 32:8 we have. You know that, Psalm 32:8? That's His promise. If you don't know it, you look it up. Write it down, Psalm 32:8. That's the Spanish, verse number 5, at least in Spain, of the beginning with Christ packet. And I know, I've been a Christian, it'll be 30 years, October 15th, 1949, and I've had to make a few decisions in life going from America to Holland to Germany, no, to England, then to Germany, back to Holland. And I know that if I'm surrendered to Christ on a daily basis, that's 90% of the problem of finding the will of God and guidance. And regarding the other 10%, you know, God is very faithful. And sometimes God is very faithful to protect us dumb guys, like one of my friends says. Even when I make dumb decisions, God, you know, He's very faithful to guide and to help, use other Christians to help me. He's very faithful to guide, claiming His promises of guidance. And John chapter 10, verse 4 is a very great comfort when I think of people going out as missionaries, young men, young women who come out as international trainees or whoever or whatever they are. But Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. That if we're in fellowship with Jesus Christ, in John chapter 10, verse 4, you know, we can hear His voice through His word and we just follow that word as He speaks to us on a day-by-day basis. He's a great shepherd of the sheep. It's not your navigator representative, it's Christ the Lord, who's a great shepherd. It's a great comfort to know that. Well, guidance, wisdom. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. I don't know about you, but I lack so much wisdom. It seems like I'm always praying over those verses. How to raise children. How to do my navigator work. I find it very, very difficult. And asking the Lord again and again, Lord, I don't have wisdom. I need Your wisdom. Help me. I claim the promise of James 1:5. I do lack it, and I must have it. Please give me wisdom. That's claiming His promise, isn't it? Well, what about the promise of, I have it in utterance, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, is the specific promise that I'm thinking of. In the authorized, it says utterance, and in the revised King James, it says utterance. In the RSV, it says speech. But in everything you are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, or enriched in Him in all speech, it says here, in all knowledge. So I suppose you could put speech, or be able to express yourself in certain situations. See, this has been a thing I have to continually acclaim and ask the Lord to help me on. I've had a couple of speech courses, and I remember when my wife was teaching, every year, you know, she mentioned about having these Bible studies in Parliament, and when she has these studies, she and I are invited to these special meetings they have once during every session of Parliament. And the first one I was invited to, Dottie and I were the only outsiders. There was one other lady who was an outsider, and all the others were Parliament people. And the wives were trying to get their husbands to this meeting. So they had a very nice buffet of food, and then they had a speaker there speak on the subject of marriage. They thought their husbands would be interested in the subject. And amazingly, all the husbands came, plus a few more. And here I am, a country boy from Minnesota, with these Parliament men of England, and they know how to speak the King's English. I'll tell you, not only Parliament people, but English people are very good speaking the English language. And I must say, I do get a little fearful in situations like that. So what do you do? Well, the only thing I know what to do is, and what I must do is, Lord, I claim the promises. In Jesus Christ, I'm enriched in all utterance or in all speech. And you can help me. Just be somewhat relaxed or relaxed in those situations and trust you. That you just help me say the right words in the right way, in the right time. And I claim that verse many, many times in many situations that I'm in. And when you study the next few verses, it says that, God will give you the gifts to do His will. I know there's a lot in the States, isn't it, about finding your gift? Well, I'm working on it myself, but I know this, that He'll give you the gift to do His will. And so if it's His will for me to go to Parliament with my wife and be with these people, He will give me the gifts I need to accomplish His will for those hours when I'm with those men. That's what verse 7 says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. I have to believe that. Because most things that I do or I'm asked to do, I don't feel necessarily gifted for it. But I know that it's God's will, and therefore I have to believe Him to give me the gifts, the power, the grace to do what He's asked me to do. And it's a wonderful experience because it does bring you close to Jesus Christ, doesn't it? Because you have to ask Him for His grace. You're claiming that promise in that particular situation that you're in. And it makes the Christian life really live. So if you don't have many gifts, just thank the Lord, because it will help you to experience claiming the promises of God in your daily life. That's what the Christian life is all about. What about, I like this one, the promise of a hundredfold. Do you know that one? You know, Jesus Christ said in Mark 10, verses 29 and 30, there's no man or woman who leaves his what? His land, or God calls him out of his profession, if God calls him to leave his country, or God calls him to leave his father or his mother, brother or sister, or even if God calls you, in light of your work, to leave your wife, in light of traveling. He says, I'll give you 100-fold more back in return. Now there'll be with persecutions. And we in America don't experience many persecutions, but if you are where Andre lives or some other parts of the world, there they have more to suffer than we do. But Jesus Christ said, I'll give you all that you need. I'll give you, and the first thing on the list is what? Houses. That's one thing. Because I really believe that. I claim that. It doesn't bother me too much regarding trusting the Lord for houses because He's promised that. I've never owned a house. My wife and I have lived in about 20-some houses since we've been married. He's always faithful to provide a house because I believe that promise. It does take the pressure off. Helps my wife as well because it's even more difficult for her at times. You see what I mean? Claiming promises. It's 100-fold, and that's been true in my life, and I've been a Christian 30 years nearly. Christ came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. It's not always easy, but it is exciting. Proverbs 14:14 says, the backslider gets bored with himself, but the godly man's life is exciting. You know, you can backslide if you want. God won't force you to follow Christ. But unless you're a very interesting person, you're going to get bored with yourself. We've got a film actor in our staff, James Fox. He has everything. You know, he had everything. He even got bored with himself. That's why he became a Christian. But the godly man's life, it's not always easy to live a godly life. But it is exciting. 100-fold, okay? Well, peace, promise of peace, John 16:33, John 14:27, this is what Jesus Christ has promised. The promise of His faithfulness, steadfast love, is what Dave mentioned this morning. I think we all know Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. It's the Lord's, you know that, don't you? I will. The time's getting short here, so I'm going to have. I do know it. What about strength? I think I hear oftentimes Isaiah 41:10 quoted more often and seemingly the last year than about any verse that I've, recently. One of the promises that many people seemingly has been a real blessing to them. Isaiah 41:10. Copy it down, look it up if you don't know it. Strength. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Maybe you've heard the statement made by Dawson Trautman. He can count in his fingers the number of people he's met that really believe. Philippians 4:13. Well, I don't know. It has to do with the circumstances of life, learning to be content. I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. I can do all things through Christ. The learning process of being content, if you have a little or if you have much, I can through Christ. His strength. Provision. Well, we heard from Larry some very good thoughts on the Lord's providing. What about well-being? I like that one, well-being. You know, the first promise, the first commandment of the promise is what? Does anybody know? Ephesians 6:2? What? Honor your parents. And, that's important. You know, there's conditions to many of the promises, aren't there? And that's one of the conditions of well-being, is just honoring your parents. And when it talks about well-being, if you read the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord says many, many times, it'll go well with you, it'll go well with you, it'll go well with you, if you just love me, cleave to me, and keep applying or obeying my words, applying them to your life. That's the only condition. Love me, cleave to me, and keep my word. And one of the things we're to keep, we're to honor our parents. And there are a few other things He wants us to keep and to do. And it'll go well with you. That's the promise. You read Deuteronomy sometime and see if I'm right. Well, there's a promise of comfort. I don't mean the comfort of that you have here in the States. God provides us, richly all things to enjoy. But I think the comfort of it that the Holy Spirit gives when we have real needs. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, that He comforts us in all our tribulation. And all of us are or will be going through various difficulties. His promise is to comfort us. And in the comfort we receive from Him, then we're able to transfer that and help someone else who are going through tribulations or difficulties. And we can comfort them. He's promised to comfort us. In fact, He's given us His Holy Spirit, hasn't He? To be our comforter. In John chapter 14, verse 16, and a few other portions in John, the promise of the Holy Spirit to comfort us. Well, the promise of His power. You know, the thing I've been praying about in these messages is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. That what I say would not be an enticing words of my wisdom, because my prayer is that what I say or what's said, it will help you. That your faith would not be in my words or my wisdom, but in the power of God. The promise of His power. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, Acts 1:8, 2 Timothy 1:7, etc. Now, there are many more promises that are in the Scriptures in light of needs that you might have. There are promises that you might need to be claiming besides those that I've mentioned to you. In fact, you could say these are general promises for everybody sitting in this room right now. Those 15 promises that I've mentioned to you, that I need and that you need. And you could say, well, sometimes you could say God gives special promises. Promises that maybe are just that God specially has to give us at special times. And I don't have time to go into this, but there are a few that God does give, I do believe, at special times when there are times of great difficulty or times of need or situations that are very difficult for us. I remember one, for example. I remember I was in having some difficulties in a particular country I was working in. Difficulties in even my relating to some people in the right way. Feeling, well, can God work? Because look at all the deficiencies in my life. And it's very encouraging, isn't it, when you really believe that God is saying to you, well, you know, I will work, and who can hinder it? I will work, and who shall hinder it? You know, I will work in spite of you. Getting alone with God, and that really ministered to my life, that promise in Isaiah 43:13. Or what about marriage? God's not going to call everyone to be married. In fact, you're able to give full attention to the Lord if God calls you not to be married. But the difficulties that is, I'm sure I have not experienced it, but I know when I was single, being able to believe God that whatever He had, if He wanted me to be married, He could work that out for my life. And I remember just believing Him for that, a passive faith, a passive waiting. And how precious some of those promises can be that can meet and touch the very inner heart of one's life. Well, in conclusion, we're going to have to close now. And this machine just keeps making noise. I guess you can't stop the noise. Huh? All right. Well, I have three thoughts in conclusion for you. How to develop a lifestyle of claiming promises. Three suggestions. You know, you can. I'm not saying you need to do this. But you can make a list of promises that you can believe God for now. For example, I assume most of you can believe God for the promises of a salvation, assurance of eternal life. If you can't, that's where you begin. Or some of you can believe God for, like I mentioned, this illustration of the hundredfold. That's easy for me to believe God for this promise of a hundredfold. And it's easy for me to believe God for a house when I go back to England again. But start where you are. What you can believe God for now. Make a list. A second suggestion. In your quiet time, or in your Bible study, or if you're memorizing the specific sayings, the Ramas. You know, that's a message in itself, the Ramas, specific sayings, Matthew 4, 4, Ephesians 6, 17. But if you're doing that, or the Word of God that's being taught in your church that you hear, pay attention to the promises and to the conditions. And when you can apply and live by what God is speaking to you in your Bible study, scripture memory, hearing, reading, and how you can apply that now, how you can claim that now, pay attention. And lastly, thirdly, when problems or situations arise, use what you have. See, the Holy Spirit has been given to you and will lead you into all truth. You don't need any man even teach you. But the Holy Spirit can remind you of those specific promises that pertain to you and your situation. So use what you have. Ask the Holy Spirit to remind you of those promises. Or get into the Scriptures and find out what God says to you regarding that particular situation that you're in. Or times, get that protracted time with the Lord, and maybe you need a kind of a special promise to claim. And those are my three suggestions for you regarding claiming promises. Let's close with prayer. Our Father, we thank you for these thoughts that we can just meditate on together, and I pray that, Lord, that you'll just take your word and use it and in the way that you want, and each person here. We thank you that the Holy Spirit has been given unto us, the one who's been promised us and given to us the very moment we receive Christ, to guide us and to lead us in all truth, and that he can remind us of those promises that we need in situations we're in now. And that we, Lord, each one of us, can. As Jesus Christ said to those disciples which believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And this is my prayer for each one of us in light of this message, as we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.